Hello, welcome back to Tarati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz. Today we will continue our study of Sefer Divrei HaYamim Bet, Perek Lamed Gimel. So if you recall, righteous King Chizkiyahu, one of the most righteous kings in all of Israel, when I say Israel, I mean Malchus Yehuda, has died. His son Menashe, whose reputation certainly precedes him, is now ruler. Menashe is one of the most wicked kings of Israel, in contrast to his father, Chizkiyahu, Chazak Ka, who strengthened the land in the name of God. Menashe, on the other hand, is very wicked. In our study of the names throughout Sefer Divrei HaYamim Bet, what about the name Menashe? When Yosef named his son Menashe, what did he say? Ki nasheni Elokim eskol amali veeskol beis avi. Elokim has made me forget all of my travail, all of my toil, and the entire house of my father. Sometimes this can be used in a positive fashion. We forget the travail of our past to move forward in a positive fashion in our avodat Hashem. We don't let the nisyonos of our past hinder us or shackle us or bring us down. But sometimes, unfortunately, it can be used in the negative, like we see in King Menashe, quite literally. Not only did he forget the heritage of being a king in Malchus Yehuda and his great-great-great-great-grandfather, David HaMelech, on the ways of God, but he also forgot his own father, Yechizkiyahu, who was righteous in the eyes of Hashem. So we begin Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Ben Shteim Esrei Shana Menashe B'Malchom. Menashe was 12 years old when he became king. For 55 years, he was king in Jerusalem. Rabbi Dean Steinsaltz notes that Menashe's reign was the longest of all the kings of Israel. And right away we are told, Vayas harab b'enei Hashem. He did what was wicked, evil, bad in the eyes of God. Kito avos hagoyim asher horish Hashem b'nei b'nei Yisrael. He went in the ways of the nations, the wicked ways, the abomination, the abominable ways, I should say, of the nations that God drove out, chased out from the land before b'nei Yisrael. Vayashav, and he returned, not in a positive sense of teshuva, but he went back to wicked ways. The bamos, the private altars that are forbidden to worship upon, that his father Yechizkiel destroyed, he rebuilt them. He established altars for the Baal of Odazar. He replanted and reestablished asheros, trees for Avodazar. He worshipped all the hosts of the heaven. He bowed down and prostrated to all the hosts of the heaven, and he built altars in the house of Hashem, not for God, but for foreign gods. Asher Amar Hashem b'Yerushalayim Yeshmi La'olam. God said about this house, my name shall be there forever. And if you recall, Yechizkiel restored the glory to the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, that was all undone in the days of his sons Menashe. And he built altars, Pesachay, for all the hosts of the heaven, B'shtei Chatzro Beit Hashem. So in the courtyard of the temple, he built altars for Avodah Zarah. Not only that, v'hu ha'evir span of be'esh be'gei ben hinom. He worshipped the Molech. He passed his sons between the bonfires at Gei ben hinom. V'onen v'nichesh v'kishay v'asa o v'yidoni. I'm in Pesuk Vav. Here balasod harab b'nei Hashem l'achiso. So I know I didn't translate those terms on purpose. I want you to listen to the Pesuk again, because then I'm going to say for Dvarim. V'hu ha'evir span of be'esh be'gei ben hinom. I already explained that. Furthermore, he did onen, v'nicheish, v'chisheif, like from kishuf, magic, v'asa ov, v'yidoni. Here, Baal asor harab b'nei Hashem l'achiso. He did so much bad in the eyes of God in order to anger him. What exactly are these terms? So if you go to Sefer Devarim, Parsha Shoftim, Perek Yurches, these are kinds of Avodah Zarah and witchcraft that are forbidden to Oraisa, Beferish, and the Pesukim. And in Sefer Devarim, Perek Yurches, Pasuk Tet, the verse tells us, Ki ata ba el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noseinach. You are coming to the land. Moshe is telling the people, you are coming to the land that Hashem, your God, is giving to you. Below Tilma, the Asuk Kito Avah Ragoyim Heli, you shall not do too, like the abominations of the nations who live there. Lo yimetze becha ma'avir bino bito b'esh. Ha, what did we just read about Menashe? He passed his children through the bonfires. It's an isser de'oraisa b'feirish here in Parsha Shoftim. There should not be found amongst you someone who passes his sons and his daughters through the fires. And Rashi says this is the avodah zarah of Molech. He makes bonfires on this side and that side and passes his son through. What you're going to see is that Menashe is involved in all of these avodah zarah, all of these to'evos, these abominations that the Torah explicitly warns against. Kosem kisamim. What is kosem kisamim? You cannot practice divination, says Rashi in Devarim. Someone who picks up his staff, his stick, and he asks the staff, what should I do? What should I not do? Kind of witchcraft. Me'onen u'menachesh u'mechashev. These are all things that I quoted from you and say for a divrei hayamim that Menashe did. You cannot be one who reads omens. You cannot go or be a sorcerer, says Rashi. What's a me'onen? Rabbi Kiva would say these are ones who, quote, give seasons. They say this in this season is good for doing this. This in this season is good for doing that. One who reads omens, oh, a bread fell from your mouth. A deer or a cat blocked you on the road. Your staff fell from your hand. You see great omen in these events. And Menashe did all of these things. Furthermore, Pasuk Ged Aleph, still in Devarim, Perikid Chet, V'chol V'rchaber, V'shoel Ov V'yidoni. Other kinds of avodah zarah and incantations and witchcraft that are all forbidden. Menashe did all of these. Vidorish el hamesim, he seeks out the dead. Why? Because the pasuk said, Kito avar Hashem kol osa ela. It is abomination of God, all who does these things. Ubiglal hatovot ha'ela, Hashem elokecha morish osami pnecha. Because of these abominations, Hashem your God banished the nations out of the land from before you. However, Menashe returned to all these ways. Finally, in Devarim, the passage concludes, Tami. You shall be pure, perfect, whole and complete with Hashem your God. Unfortunately, Menashe, Kinesheni Elokim, as called Amali, as called Beis Avi, forgot about the righteous ways of his father's Chizkiyahu and the righteous ways of his great-great-great-great-grandfather David and Shlomo, and he did all of these forbidden things. So he is worshipping, he is bringing Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash, and what is the consequence going to be here? The consequence is going to be he's going to lead the nation astray. So not only did he go astray, Pasuk Teh, Vayetam Menashe as Yehuda v'yoshva Yerushalayim la'aso ra. He then turns the people, the inhabitants of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they act so wickedly, it's even worse than the goyim, than the nations that Hashem drove out from before them. So there's extreme depravity in the land. All of a sudden, and it's such an abrupt change under Chizkiyahu, the people worshipped Hashem. They did Pesach Sheni, they reinstated the Mishmarei Kohuna and Levim. Everything was wonderful. They were bringing gifts. The storehouses were so full and overflowing. We spoke about Menashe is an abrupt change from his father. He is one of the most wicked kings, unfortunately, in all of Malchus Yehuda. So Hashem obviously is not happy. Pasuk Yod, Vayidaber Hashem al Menashe ve'al amo v'lo hikshivo. God sends prophets and people to rebuke him. And Menashe and the nation do not pay attention. They are all of a sudden so steeped in idolatry. So what happens? Vayavei Hashem aleim esarei hatzava asher lemelech Ashur. The officers of the army of the king of Ashur come upon Menashe and his people. Vayil kuduas Menashe bechochim. Menashe is captured. What is chochim? Fetters. Rabbi Dean Stein Angels translates it as fetters. If you would see a picture of it, it looks a little bit like of what we call today handcuffs, okay? Vaya Asaruhu from Oser, he's like put in jail. He is not literally put in jail, but he is metaphysically imprisoned in these fetters. Banichu Shtayim. So copper is put around his neck and his arms, and in other words, he is held captive in humiliation. Voyolichu Bavela. He's taken to Bavel. I thought it was interesting. Banichu Shtayim. Rings are placed around his arms and his neck. The root word of Nichu Shtayim is Nechoshes. We have spoken together about the importance of focusing on Sharashim. Nichu Shtayim are these rings that they place around Menashe's necks and hands to take him to Bavel, and the root word here is nechoshes, which is copper, and probably in the olden days these were made out of copper, so it gives you an idea of what was placed around him. So Menashe was so wicked, and God sends the officers of Asher, and he is taken to where? He is taken to Bavel as consequence for his sin. Interestingly, uche hatzerlo, when it is, he has so much sorrows, it becomes very difficult for Menashe. Chilas pnei Hashem elokav. All of a sudden, he remembers God. All of a sudden, he implores, chila, he entreats, he's davening to Hashem, vayikanam me'od m'lefnei elkei avosav, and he is humbled exceedingly before Hashem, the God of his fathers, vayitpalel elav, menashe davens, vayeter lo. What is eter? Ayin tav resh. It is another word for tefillah. If you look in the beginning, we're going back to Chumash, Avset Parshas Toldos, and Sefer Bereishis Perachav Hei. So what are we told in Parshas Toldos? Yitzchak and Rivka are married for 20 years. They do not have children. Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto ki akarahi vayetar lo Hashem. Yitzchak was eter before Hashem on behalf of his wife, for she was barren. Ayin tav resh. What kind of word is this for tefillah? So the sages say, it's like a gardening tool. An eter is like a hoe or a spade, ayin tav resh, a hoe or a spade which turns over the dirt from below to above. So it's something that a farmer would use to turn over the dirt. Why is tefillah called eter? Because it turns over the gezerah of Hashem from din to rachamim. It turns over. Your tefillos are so impactful, they turn over the gzeri, the decree before God, that should have been strict justice to mercy. That's exactly what happens with Menashe. So once again, we see how choice the words, the choice of words are in Tanakh. They're telling us a lesson here. Vayit palel elav, Menashe prays. What kind of tefillah? Vayeter lo. It is that kind of tefillah that's eter, that overturns the gzeri. Menashe should have been destroyed. He was a terrible king. He reinstated Avodah Zarah. He established Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Chatzer Beis HaMikdash. Everything we read in Devarim, that's Asur, he did. He passed his children between the Moloch bonfires. He restores the Asheros trees and the Bamos. And he's taken into Golis, his punishment. All of a sudden, Golis, he remembers God. Now I'm going to listen to you, Shas Hashem. Now I'm going to hear you. Such is the Koach of Tefillah. Wow. Such is the Koach of prayer. Hashem does not forget a single Jew. Vayit palel elav. No matter how wicked he is, Menashe Davin, Vayeter lo Eter, he overturned the Gezerah from Din, which is Menashe should be destroyed, to Rachamim, because listen to this, Vayishma Tchinaso, his entreaty was heard, Vayishive Yerushalayim, he is returned to Jerusalem, Lamalchuso, to his kingship, Vayeda Menashe Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, Menashe knew that Hashem is God. Va'achrechein banachoma chitzona l'ir daviv. Interestingly, Rabbi Dean Steinzelt says, a detail here is provided about King Menashe that's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, which is, Menashe built an outer wall to the city of David, Ma'arava li'Gichon, to the west of Gichon, Benachal, in the valley. So we read about his father diverting the water towards the west for the inhabitants of the city. Menashe builds a wall when he returns to Jerusalem to the west of Gichon. So we see that he's building a little bit. And Vayasar es Elohei Hanechar, and he takes away the Avodah Zarah from the house of Hashem, and he takes away all those temporary altars that he built. Vayishalei Chutzalir, he sends them away from outside the city. Vayiven et Mizbach Hashem, Vayizbach alav Zivchei Shlamim v'toda. He now sacrifices on the Mizbech of Hashem peace offerings and thanks offerings. Vayomer leYehuda, now here's going to be a problem. He says to the kingdom of Judah, La'avodat Hashem Elokei Yisrael. But this fake king, they people think, well, you can't get your mind, act together. First, you told us to do Avodah Zarah and worship the stars and worship Asherah and worship the Moloch and worship the Baal and Av and Yudoni, and now you tell us to worship Hashem, the God of Israel. So the people do not get rid of the Bamos. He is not successful. Now they're worshiping God, but not in the fashion that they are supposed to. So Menashe, for his wickedness, is not able. Remember, he ruled for 55 years. So he ruled for a long time in the path of Avodah Zarah. And then when he comes back from Babel and says, let's worship Hashem, the people are not interested, and he is not successful in eradicating foreign practice from the land. The Pesukim tell us that the rest of the words of Menashe and his tefillos to his God, and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of God, they can be found in the books of Malchei Yisrael, and his tefillah and his eter, we have already spoken about that, and his good and his bad, they are written in the words of Chosia, Vayishkav Menashe im Avotav. Menashe dies, he lays down with his fathers, which we know by now is a metaphor for death, Vayikberu Beito, and he is buried in his house. Since he was regarded as a lesser king, says Rabbi Dean Steindelt, he was not buried in the tomb of the kings, perhaps, and specifically because of his wickedness. Vayimloch Amun b'no tachtav. Amun with an aleph, mem, vav, rules instead of him. Amon, and I know that our time is almost up, but there's only a few psukim that tells, four psukim that tells, five actually, that tells about the rule of Amon. In this perek, Amon was ben Esrim Ushtaim Shana Amon b'mlacho. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned only 2 years in Jerusalem. Ushtaim Shana Malach b'Yushalayim v'yas hara v'enei Hashem kasher asa Menashe aviv. Unfortunately, for all his wickedness, Menashe had a son, Amon, who was very, very wicked as well. All the images on the Avodah Zarah that his father Menashe built up, Amon sacrificed them and worshipped. And he was not humbled and made low in a positive sense before Hashem, like his father Menashe was at the end of his life. This Amon increased guilt. He was an extremely wicked king, and his reign was very short, but unfortunately he had so much sin, he incurred much guilt. His servants conspired against him, and they killed him in his own house. However, the people of the land would have none of this. They rose up against those who conspired against Amon. So in other words, they do not want the rulership to leave from Malchus Beis David. So those who conspired against Amon and actually killed him were now struck by the people of the land. And so the people of the land rise up against those who has conspired, and they establish Yoshiyahu, the son of Amon, instead of him. So we had in this chapter, Perek Lamed Gimel, the rule of Menashe, which is obviously told in greater detail in other farm of Tanakh, then the rule of Amon, which is very short, and the parak ends by telling us that Yoshiyahu, the son of Amon, the son of Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu, rules instead of him. Be'ezrat Hashem, I look forward to continuing with you tomorrow, Perek Lamed Adal. It's extremely exciting that we are coming very, very close to the conclusion of the Sefer, and for those of you who have learned through the entire Tanakh, wow, mamish, wow. You have two more prakim to go. Chizku ve'imtzu. Thank you for studying with me. Le'ilui Nishma, Malka, Esther, Batzvi, Yosef, Alael, Sham. I wish you a wonderful day. Kol Tov.